While you're aware of all this, can you sense the consciousness that you are, the presence, the silent presence, one could say, the silent presence in the background of your perceptions? And then you can sit here and instead of being a person perceiving this through the veil of the person's conditioning, you sit here perceiving this room not through your personal sense of self, but through the simple, uncluttered, pure awareness. And that awareness is the still background to your sense perception, so to speak. So you're aware of the foreground, and in the foreground things appear and disappear, appear and disappear. Impermanence, fleetingness of everything. A house is built, then the house collapses or burns down. Bodies are born, grow, and then they get old and then they die. And situations, they come, they go very quickly. All these things happen in the foreground. Everything happens in the foreground. And even your thinking is, one could say, is still the foreground of what happens in your mind. It's the foreground. Ultimately, everything happens in your mind. But the background is the stillness behind it, that which is the awareness. So, and the Indian term Sahaja Samadhi would be in both worlds. So Samadhi itself, you could totally withdraw and forget all about the so-called external world. Sahaja Samadhi, you can be in both worlds. So you sit here, aware of everything, and present. There's the presence in the background. And that is also stillness. And that is your essence identity, not the narrative of your person, that is the narrative that calls itself my life. That's a short-lived phenomenon. So you are essentially the presence. That's a wonderful realization. And then, especially when things in the foreground become difficult because you lose something. In the foreground there's gain and there's loss. You gain something and you lose something. There's success and there's failure. And you have the opposites. There's even happiness and unhappiness. Happiness and unhappiness.
Even when
happiness arises and there's still the stillness in the background, this happiness is still there, but even the happiness doesn't take you over because you have something more vital and deeper. So the happiness doesn't make you go, wow, yeah, I got it, wow. And 2 days later, oh, I'm devastated. I thought I could trust this person. It was such a wonderful person. I've been deceived. It was horrible. It's all collapsed, or whatever it is. You went to some place that was promised some kind of fulfillment, and then you get there. Oh, no. So this, the fluctuation, happiness, unhappiness, There's something deeper than happiness and unhappiness, and that's the stillness behind it all. And from there you can observe. So, and then with something that makes you unhappy, it doesn't devastate you, which is, let's say, unfortunate. If you have witnessing something that is usually would usually be called tragic, or let's say your house is burnt down, unfortunately, it's it can happen. Then you are there. You're not, of course, you're not happy. But and of course you could say you are unhappy, but not in the it does not touch the deepest levels of your being anymore. It remains a surface room. Now the presence, consciousness, awareness. How do we use these words? One could say that when we say awareness, that means consciousness has become conscious of itself. Because you are consciousness, and then you become conscious of yourself as consciousness. Consciousness is the greatest mystery in the universe. Even greater, much greater than even the mystery of outer space, infinite number of galaxies, the mystery of atomic and subatomic particles, also a very mysterious realm. But the most mysterious is consciousness. Nobody can tell you what it is. Because if you're looking for it, trying to examine it, it's like a... let's say you have a flashlight and you're shining the light, you're using the flashlight to look for the flashlight. You're losing in the light of... You're looking for it. So consciousness... scientists have a problem with consciousness because you cannot put it under a microscope. You cannot dissect it. It is not an object that you can see. Everything else is an object. But consciousness is the eternal subject. Where does it come from? The prevalent belief is in mainstream science that or Edgar Meinstein doesn't know what it is, but it kind of implies that consciousness is a byproduct of matter. Matter being, in the case of humans, the human brain. And so the belief is that consciousness somehow, the chemical soup of the brain, which is a jelly-like substance in your head, this jelly-like substance, which normally it's incredibly complex, and somehow they say this produces something that is non-material. So there's matter of the matter of the consciousness, and then it produces something that is not matter. How is that possible? How can the chemical brain produce? See all this beautiful works of art, music, technology, or and this is the experience of this moment. Nobody knows, but some of the great scientists, they recognized that consciousness ultimately is not a product of the brain, but transcends all that, that it is, that the foundation of the universe is not matter, physical matter, but consciousness itself. And here we come to my phone. Now, is this phone conscious? I don't know. It may be on its way to consciousness. Would it produce consciousness, or would it be a receiver of consciousness? Your brain, does it produce consciousness? Or is it like a radio that receives consciousness from and then transforms it into mind stuff and into thoughts and into words? Does your brain receive consciousness or produce consciousness? For example, there was one of the most famous physicists, Max Planck, German physicist, the founder of quantum mechanics. If you want to know what that is, go to Google. And so, but he was one of the great scientists, more or less a contemporary of Einstein. There was a group of great physicists at that time that had made enormous discoveries in the realm of the subatomic realm. So Max Planck said, I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. This, of course, goes against the traditional scientific view of material reality as the basis for it all. And he also said, all matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system, which is the atom, together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. The consciousness is the intelligence behind all the phenomena that we see in the so-called physical world. There's an organizing principle and a vast intelligence behind it all. And this vast intelligence, of course, it's invisible in the same way that most of you is invisible. It's comes as a surprise. Maybe you hadn't thought about it when I say that most of you is invisible. What when I see you, I see your body, and I can perhaps draw some conclusions as to your mind by observing your behavior or your words, then I can learn a little bit about your mind. But mostly, and even that is still comes through the body. But if somebody was looking for you in the physical realm, let's say a surgeon looking for you by cutting open your skull and examining your brain, which is supposedly that's where it all lives, the scientist or the surgeon cutting open your brain would not find a single thing there. He could call you your countless memories, all the things that go on your mind. He wouldn't know what language you speak. He wouldn't know where the memory of your parents or grandparents is. He can't say, oh, there's the grandmother. They say, I found a molecule that represents the grandmother. And then, and there's a molecule of the language that this person was speaking. No, if the brain is damaged, he could say, yes, there are damages in the brain, and this is perhaps why the person suffered from dementia, because the brain had become defective. This is similar to examining a radio, and when the music is no longer coming through very well, you examine the radio and you see that rust particles have accumulated, and so it's not functioning very well anymore. But what you consider to be you are an invisible phenomenon. Because every thought already exists in the realm of invisibility. Yes, the brain is necessary in the same way that the radio is necessary to play the music. But you are essentially an invisible entity, which means most of you does not even exist in this dimension.